Hello, is this Jan?
Yes.
All right. Good. So you found? Good. Are you tucked away somewhere safe where you can talk for a few minutes?
And yep. Nobody. I'm definitely tucked away somewhere safe.
Okay. I know you're having your problems getting in here today. So Jan, I just started the show off, and I was just saying, you know, that we're going through some tough times. I think a lot of stress going around with the issues of what we might call, I don't know, search for a better word. I hate to use that word, and maybe I shouldn't, but terrorism, at least, I don't know, the news media seem to be fixated on it, and obviously some terrible things are going on in our country with a lot of killings of innocent people. And I don't know if this is probably high on your list of concerns or stresses as well. Is that right?
Definitely. I mean, the thing that I have been concerned with was just the last couple of days since Wednesday evening. There have been some children or even teens, adolescents, that have reached out and just wondering, you know, by text message, because we do keep in contact with people that about violence and what's going to happen, you know, in their schools. It's not just stemming from the events that happened this week, it's stemming from the events that have been happening for years, just because of people reacting before thinking about what they're doing. That's one thing, but it's definitely one word that keeps coming up is compassion for everyone and what they're going through. And some of the people that we work with, they have, like, high depression rates, and that's a huge stress, or high anxiety. And that can cause a lot of, that can cause violence around them, and, or they can, you know, lash out without really thinking, because they have these things going on, so it's a stress. So with, you know, the work that we do and what a lot of people are doing out there, social workers and mindfulness coaches, meditation people, guidance counselors, is just trying to diffuse the stress and the frustration that a lot of people are feeling right now. So basically, it's the children and teens and adults, you know, everybody, they're feeling that stress. We're all connected. I've talked about that before in a couple other talks, and connection is one of those words that keeps coming up. So we need to be aware and vigilant with everybody and how they're feeling.
So. All right. So are you talking to children or parents, or where are you getting your information from about how people are feeling?
Well, like I said, a lot of it is coming, I'm just getting random text messages from kids that we have worked with in the past year. You know, kids that we've worked with retreats. A lot of them are teens that we keep in contact with. And a lot of these teens that we work with already have stress. They have PTSD from where they're living right now. And so when they hear about events like this or anything that's going on in the world, they're a little bit, you know, they get stressed out immediately, and they want to know why people are hurting each other. And because we brought that up, like when we're on retreat, but then we talk about love, compassion, empathy for each other. And and a lot of these teens already have depression, and like I said, PTSD, so it triggers them a little bit, like the trauma that they've gone through.
So what can you tell these children about what is going on in the world and how they can understand it, if that's possible, and cope with it?
Well, we're trying to just, I mean, for myself, when I am talking to them, I allow them to at least talk, like they just need to talk, first of all, about how they're feeling. And then we talk about how to manage their emotions, and which can reduce their stress with the situation. And so to develop greater empathy. Because they're trying to define what empathy and compassion and love means. But the thing is, they just want to ask answers sometimes, like immediate answers. But just taking a pause is one thing that we ask them to do. Also, just be sitting with their emotions about it. And then maybe kind of put a simple goal on how to reach out to their friends if they're feeling the stress or the violence that has happened around and what they're hearing on the media. So.
Are some of these children caught between opposing viewpoints on how to deal with this? In other words, some are going to sense angry reactions. Others may be more reasoned reactions. So, the children are looking for a way to respond to this. And for me, it seems critically important that they have a good response within themselves, because, you know, harken back to the Iraq War when 9/11 happened, and then we made some rash moves, and it seems like there's this visceral reaction that's competing with a more sane and measured response to things. I wonder how the children, they're forming their viewpoints now about how to react to things. Do you pick up on that from them?
Yes. I mean, occasionally I do. I think it's definitely, if you go back to media, I think that's a huge influence. If they're watching a lot of television, if they're on Facebook, that's one thing. I was teaching a mindful family workshop the other day, actually the day after, on Thursday evening. And one portion of the Mindful Families workshop was about social media and how to talk to your kids about situations that occur that might be violent, or even, I mean, violence isn't just, you know, a shooter coming into a building or bullying. There's violence against our physical, about what we look like, you know, and that's a big stress for teens right now. And even younger children that we're seeing. So talking to them, but listening first. So the first thing is listening to them, what their concerns are, rather than lecturing them. And then allowing them just have a pause in the moment, and then explaining to them, like, what your viewpoint is, but coming from a place without judgment on anything. Like, even if you have ideas about what might have happened, you know, in the school or any situation that might be violent, but not having judgment towards the people that have done that, just explaining to them and talking to them about the situation and maybe how they can reach out, like I said earlier, that coming from a place of love and compassion, and to be able to talk to their peers. So it's just a small little tiny step that we can start talking to youth, so that they can make better choices and not coming from anger. But it's so hard because, you know, you mentioned 9/11, and I was, you know, I was 21 when that happened. I remember that day it popped on my mind. I was working on the government property at the time. When I left, I was on lockdown for a while, and when we left, finally, I went out into the world, and I remember how angry everyone was. You know, downtown in Shepherdstown, I even left and went into Frederick and was trying to find my dad because we couldn't, you know, get through to him. He was working in D.C. at the time. And there was just so much anger. And I remember going out and then I went for a hike. And I just sat with all the people that I came in contact with that day. I just sat with that. And I tried to pick out what was good in this situation, because it was bringing so many people together, though at the same time. Even though there was anger, there was still love for one another, and people just come together during these times of strife and violence. And not only are we feeling it here in the United States, it's all over the world. Syria, with everything, it's just, there's so much going on. It's almost, it's just transit time. And we just have to remember, like I said, that connection piece, that we're all interconnected and that we all should start talking in a way to maybe take simple steps to help each other get through times like this. And then there's other governmental and political things that we could get into, but the baseline is coming from compassion and love and trying to work together so that we can create a more peaceful and harmonious, you know, world. So
it's interesting. When I went through on 9/11, I was working for in a government office, and downtown I could see the smoke from the Pentagon, and I heard everything unfold, and then got out on the streets, couldn't get a train home. Finally, the train started moving again. It was a very strange time. And yeah. My reaction was kind of surprised me. I grew up in the era of racial problems, and mm-hmm. And we still have them. But but that was like, if there were issues between people, it was perceived as being a black-white thing. That's where problems and tensions seem to arise from. But the funny thing happened. I got on the metro, and it was almost entirely black people on the metro at that car that I got into, and I felt so comforted. It really surprised me and amazed me at how comfortable I was to be with those people at that time. So it was just a very weird event, very weird time. But I think you can learn.
Well, we all need that human connection. And that's the thing that people forget. I think, and that's why it feels weird to us sometimes when we're in group situations, because we are, even though we have social media and we can text people all the time or whatever, it's those authentic connections, group situations, those human connections that we're making with each other. We need those to survive. We need those to make the strong emotional choices that are going to create a better world and within ourselves. You can't, you know, if we forget about how much we are connected, then we can't really go on and make the decision.
That's a really, really important point, and I'm wondering how we can make those connections with the Muslim community. I don't think we're making those connections.
I think it's hard right now because I think there are a lot of goodness going on. I think there's a lot of people that are reaching out to the Muslim community, but out in, you know, in the media, again, the media or social media, you're not going to see that. It's just like with anything. I remember with the riot, with the Baltimore riot in April, I think in April, we didn't see all the good things that were going on in Baltimore and West Baltimore at that time. There were a lot of people doing cleanup around. There are articles out there. You can look them up. But it wasn't the front page thing. You're not going to hear about the good. You're going to hear about the bad because that's just how media is. And it's a sad thing. But I have been reading articles, and you did see people are reaching out, and you are seeing pictures of people that we're not seeing race, we're not seeing, we're all, they're seeing people as people. And if people could just start, you know, we have the same heart and mind, we just need to start working together more. And it sounds like a hippy-dippy thing to say, but the thing is, that's the bottom line. All of it.
Nothing wrong with hippy dippy, but I think really this strikes me as something very important. people are looking for a way to respond and react to this thing, and they can go one way or the other. We can heighten the paranoia, we can separate ourselves, we can create more tension, or we can go the other way and reach out to these people, refugees and people in our Muslim communities, in our own communities, and try to bridge the gap between between the peoples. Not only, I mean, we have both a religious kind of apartheid, and we also have an ethnic or maybe a historic type of separation. So there's a huge gap that needs to be bridged. I think we need a way to react. And if we go that way instead of the other way, it gives us, you know, a way to respond to this thing.
Well, if we start actually recognizing what's happening internally within of us, and then we start reaching out to communities, first you have to, like, know where you're coming from. And then if you start reaching out to communities in a more peaceful way and coming from base of them and communication comfort and communicate safety, then that's in just my opinion, then I think that we'll see more of people bridging that gap, coming together, and being able to talk about these issues. All of this is a hard thing to talk about. When I was working at the farm yesterday, my friend Lacey, from whom you know, Joe,
yes,
we were trying to figure out a series to do there where we can connect to the earth, connect to our land, but also talk about how violence is stemming from what we're doing to our mother earth. Because, we're all interconnected, and there's this basic need for understanding. But how do we, it's such a broad topic, we were talking about this, such a broad topic, how do we break that down into a series? So we're trying to work on that, and what can we bring to the farm, you know, which is about 30 miles away from Shepherd's Point, and bring people in to start having these panel discussions. I know a lot of people feel like they aren't doing anything, they can't do anything. If they do something small, they don't feel like they're doing enough. Well, just even a small gesture of kindness is enough to ripple through the whole entire world because of the connection piece.
Right.
So people just need to, like, I think not being so hard on ourselves and not coming out of, you know, not judging ourselves as much is, I know that I'm always grappling with that. Even though we're teaching being mindful and having discipline with our emotions and all of that, we're human. And we need to talk about, like, these issues openly and not be scared. And sometimes it might be offensive. We might bring up things that are offensive and, you know, come at that from love and then an understanding, and maybe things will happen. It's such a broad topic, Joe, that, like, I think right now trying to define it is the first step a little bit, and I don't know if it'll ever be defined, but then maybe just pausing and taking that moment and then going on from there.
Well, I really feel that, you know, you're setting off a good discussion here, that if we move in that direction of reconciliation and conversation and discussion, both within ourselves and then also with members of the community, both our own community and the broader community, meaning bridging the gaps between the religions and ethnic gaps that we're facing, there's too much of the, it's too easy to fall back into the patterns of separation and, mm-hmm. and paranoia.
Right. I've
seen that happen going back to, you know, where I saw the races coming together to some extent, and then I saw them drift apart again, back into their own comfortable, niches. And I think we have to seek to, avoid that, keep that from happening over and over again, because it seems like we have regressed in some ways in this country. The dialogue that we're hearing today and the many people rallying around these paranoiac statements, xenophobia, Islamophobia, every kind of phobia is now getting very popular. And if you feed this, it seems people have a visceral reaction, and it's like a food. If you feed people this paranoia, they're going to stampede in one direction. If you feed them another more nourishing approach, a more compassionate approach, they can go in that direction.
Well, if we're validating our fear all the time, then it's just perpetuating more fear, and there's going to be more violence. And that's kind of what I'm feeling right now with everything. I don't watch a lot of television. I try to stay away from it, especially news. But I do read a lot online. That's where I get my news from. And just by observing how people are reacting to each other, the more that, like I said, we don't really hear about the good so much, but I see more good than I see bad out there. I see more people reaching out to each other. Just like this radio show or anything, the discussions are coming up because people want to do something. And a lot of it is stemming from because they want gun control, too. And that's a whole other topic in itself, and I'm not going to get into that right now. But I think that it's coming from a very good place. Even if it's spiritual, even if it's just coming from kindness or anything, it's coming from a place where healing needs to start happening. And so that's just how I'm seeing it at this point. But
I hope we can continue to provide some good feed for people, good food in this sense, good nutrition for their souls, and so that they have validation for going in a better direction.
Right.
Because if they keep getting this feedback, it is going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy that if we react with anger, we're going to get anger back. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, I told you so. Well, sure. That's, it's inevitable.
Right.
So that's a job we kind of have before us. But it does give us some direction and a way to respond.
Yes. I mean, just having this discussion or people having these discussions right now is the most important step to take with all of this. And just remembering coming from a place of non-judgment and trying to go in and just coming from a place of kindness and love and being grateful for the community that we have and the people that are still here on this earth, life is short. We need to start working together a little bit more to create change. I hear change all the time. I want to make change. And I'm like, what are the steps that you're going to do to create that change? And just keep pushing for it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But people do it. I've done it forever. And something good is going to come out of something.
Well, we have, I've heard, in the context of global warming, but it's in the context of all of these things, that we live in difficult times, and they're scary times to some extent. And I'm going to have to jump to my other call in just a second. Let's see, it's coming in.
Yeah.
But
I have to go as well, but I have to jump on the road and go somewhere right now. But maybe we can definitely have more discussions with this. And I know, Joe, with your radio show, that a lot of people are having a basis, a foundation of community and how to work together to create change in different areas, many different topics. So
all right.
Looking forward to see what's going to happen with that.
Okay, Jan, we'll talk more later. And thank you so much for calling in.
Yep, no problem.